Doing
in this.
Yeah.
It depends if my voice is curved, then it's fine. How is it?
No,
okay.
No, I.
So it's a kind of strange case for me that I come to talk at the conference in a subject that I never worked. And so the reason I did this is because Dror was able to persuade me and to say that what we're doing with Ethicon is somehow related to what we'll be talking about. And they asked me to give some kind of preparatory talk on this talk. So I'll try. Of course, I will not actually work if you really want to present a group and a construction, then what is group and construction about. It's kind of long formulas, which I even will not attempt to write on a blackboard, because I just, I'm not able to follow formulas. What is the problem about? The problem about was called quantization. So quantization I usually discuss it in more detail, but quantization usually, quantization is usually related to the following situation. You have some kind of a simple structure which you understand well. You have a considered deformation of this structure in a more complex structure. And if you have the deformation of this structure, there are some traces which left in the original structure. The two examples relevant. One is if you have manifold with Poisson structure, then you can consider commutative limbo function, which are functions on the manifold. And you, if you have a function, that's one more. Suppose you have a function, that's right something. So let X be a smooth manifold. So we can say C of X, A, 0. The ring of smooth functions. So we have M0 multiplication. Consider deformation. Deformation. An algebra A over C of X, C of H, free as C of H model. Deformation of this. So given algebra A, given an M, we can define a real structure. where a representative. It's very familiar. The structure gives you Poisson structure on the manifold. And you can ask, quantization is kind of going backwards. So suppose you have a manifold with Poisson structure, right? You can ask whether there exists some kind of deformation of algebra A which generates this Poisson structure. Now, when you have any kind of a problem of a deformation, we learn, at least from Grothendieck, if not before, that you can try to do it step by step. You can write essentially A is A of A, 0 of H, which is, and you can try to write, okay, let's write F step G, M of F G. And then we can write F star G is F G plus H G plus some other terms. And so on. So when given a Poisson structure, we essentially know first two terms. On this decomposition, we can look for further terms in such a way that associativity is satisfied. So for every, you can try to do it step by step. And on every step, you have a linear equations. And if you know that you can solve these linear equations, you can solve the problem. So abstraction to solution of linear equations. So it's always the case that essentially you write some kind of a cocycle and you want to know, to be able to continue, you have to show that this cocycle is co-boundary. More precisely, you have to find an element whose co-boundary is this cocycle. And if it happens, the cohomology group is zero, then you know that you can solve the problem without. Now what happens in this case is that cohomology are not zero. So you don't know a priori that they can solve. And there are two solutions to this problem, this kind of problem, which we know. One is the original solution by Consolution. When he wrote, at least first in the game, when X is Euclidean space, he wrote some kind of explicit formulas for describing these terms in terms of original brackets. And so in this case, you have a solution. You don't know why you have it, but you have it, you can play with it. And the other is the work of Tamarkin, which extends original work, earlier work of Dini, which says that it often happens, if you want to preserve more structure, then really cohomology group becomes it. So if you want to solve not only something, I will not go in details, but if there is way to ask more, and as often happens, if you ask more, then it's easier to get. Now, I will discuss another problem, which we solved with Ettingov, more or less the same time as Kantemir's problem. They're in some sense related to this first Tamarkin's proof of consensus result was based on our result. But in that case, and this I think maybe why it's interesting, would be interesting, we have only one solution, which is analogous to first, to consensus solution. We can write some formulas and we can prove the existence of the second of the existence of what? But I don't know any kind of way to formulate a homological problem in way to ask more in such a way that homogeneity. And I think it's worthwhile thing, because there are other problems when we don't know how to write formulas explicitly, which could be. Now let me try to describe the problem. It's kind of parallel problem. So, we're studying Hopf. So the basic example is actually only the generic Cocker-Muegge example is that G be alias U0 be universal number alpha. This is natural. And of course, we have a Hopf structure delta. Algebra to keep it co-commutative, you just have to deform the algebra. Now, deformation. And so, quantized universal invariant algebra is a Hopf algebra. U over C of H. C could be any field of characteristics zero. It's completely irrelevant. So we have U M delta as some other things you need for Hopf algebra, which is free, which is free as C of H mod. And an isomorphism. U mod H U. S of R. Now you can see what X tilde. and delta of g lambda is a 1. And now you can ask the same question we asked before. Okay, so such a structure, so definition, a bi-algebra. Is a Lie algebra. G and a one cycle. Delta G, which is consonant. I need for you to say. And now you have a question. We can just given which dream to ask. Given a Lie algebra, does it come from a definition of a universal algebra of G as a whole? Does it come from one? So the answer is yes. And as before, you can try to do it step by step, by degree of H, degree of H. You run to some abstraction, potential abstraction. These abstractions lie in cohomology groups, but cohomology groups are non-zero. So you cannot, you don't see whether it's possible or not. So the solution is, as before, as in Kantsevichsky, is given by explicit formulas. But I suggest if people are interested to try to see kind of cohomological way to prove this result by so it's asking more, as Tamar can be in the case of quantization. Now, what happened is that for solution, that solution of this problem goes through a couple of steps. So let me outline some steps in the solution. So the first thing I have to say is let given a whole algebra. Maybe I say it in two steps. Given an algebra A, we can consider the category A mod of its left A mod A we have a natural we have an exact function CA verb, which we'll forget. We'll forget some function. You just forget the action. It has A more than you forget the action of A. You have a vector. And A is endomorphism of this function. In other words, the construction of ring A could go into steps, you first can construct a category and then comma. And it actually could be different rings within the same category of representation. And construction of ring could go into steps. Now we need some value. If given a hop out, we define monoid of stuff. On the category. Just one, so given X, Y. In CU, we define Roy. Roy is X. Y. CU, we define. Defines is which is defines the Hopf algebra, the Hopf algebra stuff. Given any monoid of category C tangent of mass, anything there, and the function. F C that with isomorphisms alpha X Y satisfying and compatible. Can define a Hopf algebra structure. On U, which is by definition as the Hopf F, and equivalence. In other words, one of the ways to construct
hopal
is to construct a monoidal category and then constructify. And this is more or less what we're doing with setting up, but there is one more step to be discussed. Alright.
So what I'm saying there, so your category is the category of models, left models over the hot models, and then what are the objects there? I mean, the pairs, and I don't understand what.
But you're starting here or here?
I'm starting there.
Yeah. So a category is category U models or representations. So I think about vector space with an action on and then I produce a new vector space with just a tensor product. An action uses common application. We actually need a slightly more involved structure for understanding. We need gradient modulus. In spite of the fact that I need to go through the bone hop out. In this, what we want to do, so we're given by algebra, we want now to construct some monoidal category final function. But it's also done in two steps. We really construct what's called the double, bring this double on this monoidal category, and then we construct. But let's talk a little bit about it's very nice. Okay. So, let
some activity more
be a monoidal kind. Now, I assume that people know what monoidal kind is. If not, I can give definition, but I assume that everybody knows. We might do it, okay. We can define what properly should be called not double, but the center of this monoid. And the right D, but it's actually correct notion of the center. D of C and the category. Pairs.
On
X. And X. Where X element object of C in tower X. XY is isomorphic.
Means
now, the all if given a fiber function. Now, D has. Has a natural structure of a brady monoidal.
You can easily, in this term, you can easily describe.
So, in this analog of a center on the previous level of vericity, we start from this ring, we just take all the elements which commute with other elements, we get the center of ring. The center of any ring is commute. So this is next categorical level. We start monoidal category. We take a center. The center, of course, is not enough to say that product left or right are isomorphic. You never say the category. You have to give isomorphism. And this is a notion of center. And the same arguments which show the center of being is commutative show the D has natural structure of braided monoidal. And, okay, given a fiber function, F defines a fiber function F. So combining myself to any Hopf algebra. Yes?
Just this exact fiber function?
Yeah, exact.
That's just something which is exact.
Yeah, yeah. Fiber function exact, no, it means exact, and you're given this as a box.
Oh, just this.
Just this. It's exact function with compatible system of isomorphism. So to any algebra, you we can associate we just go here through CU, here we go to D CU, and here we go back. Now so in other words there is some construction not I will take some time to write it, we don't need it, but when we ask what happens on the level of bi so we can ask what happens with du. Then du is also a the corresponding by corresponding map. So, so delta, delta is map from G to G. Commutator gives the map from G to G. And the commutator dual gives the map from G. sense. Moreover, the braided structure, I could ask in general, because then I can discuss, should discuss, the formation of U of G as a braided, but the braided structure. Consider by algebra D, which is G plus. All right, R. But R is this. And then now, from this moment on, we go and construct the category of G. It means, let's call it category C. Construct a braided category. A braided. We want to start with by algebra, we want to finish with copalgebra. And now we start out. We first of all take two, which is very easy. From here on, the next thing we construct some braided monoidal. And so then we're going
to. R? How do you get R?
R is. Sorry. I didn't tell you what's up. You are sorry. Right? I didn't. This is canonical element.
I mean, starting from the bias.
No. It's just completely canonical. You should. So what it is? Right. Sorry. Right. If here R actually lies in G, then the G star, which is subspace here. But G then. In G tangent G star is the same as endomorphism over C of G. G for any vector space, G tangent G star. And you have identity element. So R is a canonical element in G tangent star, which you consider as an element. So starting with any by algebra, you just write. Now, okay, so the next step is we want to construct. Here is the main idea, is the idea of the main question in this area, is the idea of the So the idea of it's kind of basic, yeah, that the same braided,
the same manometer cutting, braided manometer
can come in different forms. If you think about quantum groups, then they're really Hopf algebras, quite complicated Hopf algebra. And what happens is that since it's Hopf algebra, associativity morphism is identity. But algebras are complicated and braiding is complicated. But you can think a different way. When you push the non-triviality in associativity. So, theorem B. For any, yeah. Okay. For any quasi it means G and R not necessarily coming from these. Let me maybe formulate it more precisely. It's a little bit. Let A be the algebra generated by. And we consider actual completion of this algebra.
Degree of T.
Look at it. Because one to complete.
Now the theorem
of Drinken is the following. There exists. And could be written explicitly. The only proof we have is just explicit form. Phi element in A such that any quasi triangle the following is let C be the category of G mod. We define tensor
x for x
tensor v
y.
Y is just
x.
So this is just usual structure of tensor product
of representation.
We define and break B
x y
x, y, and just in that shape.
Times
p I p h of r plus r.
Is given by to use this kind of algebra,
to produce invariants of not zero, nuts or something like this, then you better restrict yourself to finite dimensional case when the result does not depend on the choices. And the problem which is not solved, which you're a bit interested in, is whether in finite dimensional case one can write explicit solution which doesn't use associator. Since the answer does not depend on associator, it should be possible to write some kind of much simpler closed formula which doesn't which give you an answer. But okay, that's it.
Can you repeat that last?
Yeah, you see, I'm saying that construction, the kind of main non-trivial part of the construction was the choice of these elements. And in principle, the result, the hopeful to your taste, depends on the choice. So there's no way to write, there's no way to write kind of canonical. On the other hand, in the finite dimension, if you are in the finite dimension, then you can prove the outcome doesn't depend on the choice of the individual. So it suggests to the much more elementary form, the difference between finite dimensional and interdimensional case is that you can, in finite dimensional case, you can write formulas which involve trace. In interdimensional case, you can write trace. So it suggests that if you write for, if you allow yourself to write formulas with traces, which makes sense only in finite dimensional case, then you should be able to write much simpler forms, which does not involve the associator or something like this. Since the result doesn't depend on it, it should be possible.
For
kind of, in the end, what do you start.
Okay, let me try to say it.
What do we want? So we have some kind of one universal object. You have by our universal that doesn't matter what it is, it takes X. Then be universal. It takes some work. You want to produce, from this you want to produce a Hopf algebra structure, then
UG of into U.
Now, this formula should depend on delta and, of course, on the bracket in the algebra. Now, what does it depend? It means you write some kind of explicit formula. So you write this formula for multiplication in terms of some expressions which you build from delta, which is G times G, and commutator, which is G tangent. And then, of course, you can build more complicated expressions with data. Now, the question is, but so if you work with finite dimensional, G is finite dimensional, then you also can use trace. And the question is, so, I would expect, so the statement is, there exists a form which so doesn't depend on the which is write this map completely formally in terms of combination of these two maps, and it's more or less what I wrote here, that this phi is a high way to writing this formula. But the formula result, the Hopf algebra depends in general on the choice of.
Now we know that for if the algebra is finite dimension, the outcome doesn't depend on choice.
But in what sense? I up to some isomorphism?
Isomorphism is a Hopf algebra. It's just a Hopf algebra. So in general, the Hopf algebra obtained are not isomorphic. Now, but if we find dimensions of what you obtain, Hopf algebra isomorphic independent, but given and find, they're isomorphic. So it's natural to expect that we should be able to write something which doesn't involve. But of course, in first glance, it's impossible because it could not work, because then it worked for all. But actually, it means that in your formulas you're writing, you also can take place. So I would expect that there exists much simpler formulas which write expression, this expression, in terms of commutator delta entries, which give you, for, which makes sense only for in finite dimensional case, but in finite dimensional case will give you result which will be much simpler to work with than others.
Do you have any, yes, I don't know, some explicit formula for low?
I have to say, the Greenfield had a guess for a term by h squared. It's no problem to write. And if you are a computer, then most probably you can write here to h to 6 or 7. But
the figure, you're actually underestimating the complexity.
Or either so, 3 or 4. But for me, it's no given.
So the computer wouldn't give you it in terms of these things.
No, they give it explicitly. A drawer could program something which gives you this result, no problem. But result of the complete mess. And it's clear why, because it really depends on us. So you really have a family of things, and we don't know any good way to choose one.
No, but kind of already with this dependence, if you would incorporate this trace.
Yeah, then it should be. I don't know.
Yes, for at least four degrees or something.
I don't, but it should. I would expect, but I don't have. It's actually, you're right, one have to see it to do term for h squared is easy to write. But if it's h cubed, then already one can start to think about simplification. You know, it's natural thing, I just not work with this. But they, but some people want to use it in some sense. I'm really interested in finding the dimensional because I suggest.
Let me just point out that there is an even simpler situation in which you write formulas that depend on the associators, but the end result doesn't. And this is, for example, the invariant of the figure 8 knot written in, or any other knot, but the figure 8 knot is the simplest one for which you actually need an associator. And again, it's a formula that uses an associator but does not depend on it at the end.
You're asking for formulas which depends on the knot. And maybe it's the same problem, because if you write, I don't know. But the existing proof of independence in finite dimensional case is pretty nasty. It really proved that cohomology vanishes in the case. Corresponding space of abstraction is trivial, and therefore nothing depends on what. Okay.